I'm Sarah.
And I'm Sandy.
And you're listening to the Instructicate podcast.
This is an educational podcast. We talk about serious topics without taking ourselves too seriously. The views expressed here are not reflective of our places of employment. Today's topic is professional learning and teacher evaluations.
All right. Both interesting topics. Both hot button topics for educators, I think. I think that those are two things people take pretty personally.
Right. Let's start with professional learning.
All right. Well, what can we say about it?
Well, we can say that instead of professional development, it's now known as professional learning. Why is that?
I'm not really sure.
Same. Let's think about it. So, professional development. Okay, that I guess that could kind of like tell someone
that they're
developing, they're needing to develop.
They're needing to grow. Yeah. I think all teachers would say that they want to grow. I don't know if they like the word develop. I think it sounds kind of like immature or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like you're not.
Whereas learning, I mean, everyone's learning something new every day. Mm-hmm. So that just sounds, yeah.
Yeah, so I guess it's just a kind of a matter of respect kind of type thing.
I like that.
People approach things with maybe a better attitude, you know. I think for me, that's what is the most important aspect about professional learning is if I go there and I feel like my time is being valued.
Right.
Because it's something that we all have to do as instructor, as teachers, educators. And we don't mind, but I think we start to get a little bit out of shape when, you know, we're required to go to these things and then the presenter or the topic or whatever they're putting out for us to learn from is subpar or not well thought out. Mm-hmm. Like they just threw something out there because they had to fill the hours.
Right.
'Cause then it becomes kind of like a, well, what are we doing this for?
Right. So, yeah, usually I have a shorter time limit when I provide professional learning,
mm-hmm.
Or facilitate professional learning, I should say. It's like an hour and a half, 2 hours, 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, it was 8 hours, which was crazy, and what you said right now, like, you have to feel like your time is spent wisely, like it's worth the time.
Mm-hmm.
That is so important.
Yeah.
I mean, so I sent out a pre-survey and just asked, what do you want to know? You know, I have these robots. You have these robots. You want to learn about the robots. Where do I begin? And I just went from there. It's caused a little bit of pressure because I don't plan as ahead as I would like, mm-hmm. but that's also my fault because I should send the survey out much sooner.
Yeah.
But, you know, lesson learned.
Yeah, and everybody's doing what they can to get done what they need to get done, but for it to be thoughtful and worthwhile, but some things get, you know, pushed down the list.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because you have something in mind that you want to, you know, it's like you can value someone's time and ask them what they want to know, and I mean, I guess it's just like planning a lesson for your students.
Yeah, I mean, and it's really just individualizing the topic, because I could start at the very beginning every time, but, mm-hmm. like, that happens to us so often in professional learning experiences, and you're just like, I already know this, you know, like, mm-hmm. why am I not separated from this other group that doesn't know this? That way they can get more attention to, like, knowing the whole program, and mm-hmm. I can get more attention to, like, learning something new about the program. Like,
right. So that's something I'm really enjoying about our school district is they've recently implemented something more along the lines of like a conference, mm-hmm. type style for our back to school learning, professional learning. And I think it's really interesting.
Because we had like the various sessions and you could attend. Mm-hmm.
And it was like presented by your peers.
Yeah.
So it felt more like a peer teaching situation than someone getting paid all these big bucks from the school district and just giving us a, you know, big box lesson. And I've had some trainers from, like, can I say a place? I've had some trainers from some nationwide situations who actually have been very good. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, holler at you. You're doing your thing. But then I've also had some presenters from some other organizations, or even some of the materials, like the curriculum and stuff mm-hmm. that we use, that were just giving me, you know, this is the scripted professional development, and it mm-hmm. was very boring, and it felt just kind of like a waste of my day.
Yeah.
Opportunities get lost, I think, because mm-hmm. we have all this time, and so I was enjoying, I like that peer teaching atmosphere. Or if an expert is brought in, a quote-unquote expert is brought there, you have the choice to go and listen to, you know, their deal right. or whatever.
So, okay. So the very first time I presented, I don't remember, not the very first time, but sometime, did I do it this year? I did it like maybe 2 years ago, my first day session that I ever had. I asked them what resources they were using. At the time, I was still a classroom teacher. I said, what's your curriculum? Like, what are the bundles? Because most large school districts in an area will all kind of have most of the same stuff. If not, I would have had exposure to the curriculum in some other way, you know, because I'm aware. Anyway, usually I try to add that in when I'm trying to get buy-in. Like, we have this program. Let me show you how to use this program, right? In a novel way. So, anyway, that was helpful.
Yeah.
That does help with buy-in.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, I don't know what else we can say about that. Providing, participating and providing or being a facilitator is really fun. Mm-hmm. If you ever think about, if you're in your school district and you have an opportunity and you're an expert at something or you want to share with your peers, I would highly recommend doing it. It's a way right. for you to learn more about the thing that you're already using, and it's a way to make friends, right. you know. I think it's a way to get to know people in your district, and it's pretty fun, and it's a way to flex some other teaching muscles, you right. know.
Well, and so... it's funny because I'll tell Sarah all the time, I don't understand, like, the information that I share with people, it seems, I don't know, it's exciting and humbling to know that people want to know what I have to say, and I say the same thing to Sarah, because I think she's a really great teacher, and I see all the things that she's doing with her students, and the different activities, and I'm so proud of her, and she's like, why are you looking at me like that? Because I'll just be like, yay, like a proud mom. And, yeah, it's just, she's doing a good job. So you're probably doing something that's extraordinary and exceptional in your class if you are a teacher or your child's teacher. And I'm sure somebody out there needs help with that. So share your knowledge. It's fun.
It is. It's really fun. And it's really rewarding. Mm-hmm. And people start to open up to you, and they do start sharing ideas with you, because I think teaching can be really, really isolating, because, you know, it's just like you in your classroom with your students, and even though you might be on a team or whatever, it's not like you're in each other's, you know, space day to day like other kind of coworkers are, and so this is a way to really get to know and share and collaborate and find people who are interested in the same things or experts at something that you want to know more about, and to really get to know the other educators in and around your school district, because like Sandy just said, I think every single teacher has something that they're good at if they're passionate about yeah. it, and they really want to pursue the art and craft of teaching.
Yeah. I mean, okay, so this is funny. I have a friend, I work with him. And he said, you say I love stuff too much. I don't believe you. Because I say, oh, I love elementary school students and teachers. They're amazing, you know, and the staff as well. And I just have, my heart is just all in it. Because those are kids that have been alive for like 8 years. Imagine, been alive for 8 years, you know. Well, it's crazy.
Yeah, and then they spent the first 4 of those years being a baby.
Yeah.
So they were learning a lot, but... they've only been communicating with us mm-hmm. and like able to do, yes. you know, entering into right. independence for 4 years.
Right. And shame on you if you are an adult and you do not know how to stand in a line or what side of the building to walk on. If you're an adult and you have been taught in the United States from kindergarten, yes, you should.
Yeah, don't be walking on the left side of the deal. You can't do that. Mm-hmm. You're walking on the against traffic.
Yeah.
Come on. You go to the mall and there's these people. We talked about this in the last podcast. Yeah. I think it's just hitting home the point that we're not teaching people to be conformists. We're teaching them how to participate in the social contract.
Yeah.
Just like, we got to maintain society, y'all.
People get so angry when someone is not in line, right? And it's just because it's like, oh, moral anger. I'm in line. You need to be in line. I can't tell if you're trying to cut in front of me. I'm obviously here because I want the same thing you want, but I got here first. Mm-hmm. And so it just causes all kinds of tension. I mean, people just follow social rules. It's not
that big of a deal.
No.
It's fine. It doesn't mean you're like a sellout. It just means you're like a polite member of society. Yeah. And it's fine to be that.
Yeah.
You can still be like anti the man or whatever you need to be.
Yeah.
But you can also, you know. Just you follow the social rules.
Yeah, like that way everybody can be comfortable.
Yeah.
And I understand if you're not from here, right? I get it. But.
Well, if you see everybody doing something, you should have also learned that. Like,
yeah.
Not that you go along with the crowd, but as far as like driving in a car, okay, guess what? If you move here from England, you don't keep driving on the left side of the road.
You know what? In like movies that you see and photographs, old and new, and, you know, you see the same thing.
Yes.
Everybody is walking this direction on this side of the road or sidewalk, and the same with the opposite direction.
So, yes.
Yeah, it's a, yeah.
It's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyways.
Moving on. I say I love everything, and I really do. I do. I'm like, oh, I love that. I do. Makes me really happy to work with teachers and students and to walk into classrooms and just see something cool everywhere I go. And I can meet somebody and outside of their classroom. And then when I see them in their classroom, it's just, I know so much more about them. You know, it's like, oh, and everybody has it a different way.
Yeah. It also makes you like people sometimes that you didn't really weren't really sure, like, if your personalities were going to mesh or whatever.
Right.
But then when you see them, like, being passionate about teaching and being passionate about what they're doing in their classroom, it, like, makes you see them in a different way. Like, oh, you're one of me. You're like me. Like, maybe we don't have anything else in the whole wide world in common, but just because you're a passionate teacher and you're, you know, doing fun stuff in your classroom and your kids are learning, it makes me be like, ah, I like you. You're cool.
So we've moved from professional learning to like what makes you a great teacher and what makes us happy about what we do.
What else do you want to say anything about professional learning? I think we're just trying to pump people up to.
Yeah. Do it.
Do it.
Attend and, you know, share your ideas as well.
Also, guess what? You know what? If you're in a district that is not doing a good job in providing professional learning opportunities, say something. Don't be afraid. You can be cool about it and just be like, hey, you know, I heard about this kind of thing that some other districts are doing, or I heard, you know, I want to have more development in this area or learning opportunities in this area, and just say something to somebody. Say, you know, but you can do that.
Right. Because not everybody's going to ask. I ask, but not everybody does.
Yeah. And not every school district is going to ask or give you the opportunity to say, mm-hmm. you know, and maybe that's something that, you know, we should expect.
Also, though, like, there are so many free training opportunities that happen in the summertime and on the weekends.
Webinars at the
I'm not a big webinar person. I mean, I'll watch every now and then if that's all that a resource is providing for me. But
I've learned stuff from webinars.
Yeah. It's just not for me. On the weekend, I could go to an 8-hour conference and just, wow, I feel inspired, and I have ideas, and oh, it's so exciting.
Yeah, I think more teachers should go to conferences. Mm. I mean, that one that we did down there when hardly anybody was at, there's a lot more teachers that teach those grade levels than, I don't want to say the name of it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It was in Galveston. Can I say that? I felt like there weren't, you know, it was small, and I know it's designed to be small. You can say
the organization.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It was Texas Computer Education Association, right?
Oh, we've done two in Galveston. So that, okay, so we did an All Elementary Texas Computer Education Association.
Which was really cool.
PD. Yeah. There weren't a lot of people, although there were a lot of people in our session. It was just like a smaller conference, mm-hmm. and it's specifically for...
Early childhood, right?
Early childhood, which includes up to, you know, fourth grade, mm-hmm. but you can loop in fifth grade since that's elementary because they're offering it to elementary.
Okay.
So... even though it says elementary, it also includes, like, early childhood. Mm-hmm. So
okay. It was cool.
Yeah, it was cool. I wish the expo situation was a little better because there's a lot of stuff that I see at TCEA, the main, the convention, mm-hmm. that I think the early childhood would benefit from as well. It's like, you're leaving out a big part of the market. Anyways,
yeah, go to more conferences. They're really fun, mm-hmm. and you have some learning opportunities there. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't really have anything else to say about learning. Mm-mm. Professional learning.
Let's move on to teacher evaluations.
Okay.
Right. So it was my idea to add teacher evaluations to this topic. Or this podcast. And I just think it's so, I mean, I just did it right now. I gave you an example. I was like, oh, it makes me so happy to go into classrooms and see this, that, or whatever, or like something extraordinary. I'm, you know, in a way evaluating this teacher. I mean, I'm not writing anything down or turning anything in. And it's like, I love it. You know, like even when, for some reason, like if I walk into a classroom and they're doing something fun, the teacher will always say like, oh, it's related to this, that, or whatever, or, oh, this is their prize for the week. I'm not there for any of that. I think that's awesome. And I would do that too when I was a classroom teacher. Like, you need to positively reinforce the things that you're looking for in your classroom, and giving kids some fun time is not, you know, I'm glad. Awesome. I see what you're doing. I see that they're still learning, but they're having fun, and I think that that's great. But I'm not evaluating anybody. The evaluation situation is kind of weird.
It's weird. It's a little unnerving.
Yeah. For teachers especially, let's just say what happens. Somebody is sitting in your room for like 45 minutes.
Not interacting.
Yeah.
They're scribbling notes down. They're typing in their little computer.
Yeah.
And they're literally just observing you. It's real weird. It's almost like there's a two-way mirror between you and this person observing mm-hmm. you.
Yeah.
And you know this person professionally, and so that's weird. And then they just kind of leave, and they smile, and you're like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Did I do terrible?
Yeah, that's weird. Like, I've had some administrators, though, who, like, come into the room and interact with the kids. And I think that works out so much better.
I do, too, because then they can be like, oh, these kids really are learning.
Well, yeah, why wouldn't you want to talk to them? Oh, my gosh.
No.
Everybody's room I go into, I talk to them. And if I can't talk to them, they're like, oh, we're learning, and we have a visitor. Don't engage, basically, you know? You can say hi, but you can't go talk to her. And so I'm waving and smiling, and I love the kids. I want to talk to them. Even the teenagers, like, I love them. They're so cool. It's so cool to see them all turning into their own little human. It's like they're mini adults. It's crazy. Yeah. They're making fashion choices, and they have attitude, and it's amazing. I love it.
Yeah. I don't know why there's not more interaction with the students. If you're observing me as a teacher, you should also be, like, looking at my students' work. But I think it's real interesting because I don't give grades. I know none of those people are looking at my report cards. They don't care about pre-K for some reason, even though it's real important. So I feel like just coming in and watching us for an hour is like, eh,
Right.
Okay.
Well, and there's such a lack of understanding. I got super passionate at the office a while back because I was in the middle, well, actually, yeah, in the middle, but not talking to these people, of a conversation where they're talking about pre-K. And, you know, I taught pre-K for quite a bit of time. I taught pre-K and preschool program for children with disabilities separately. And I was like, hey, man, it's not the same. You know, like, y'all are not, I mean, do the teachers at your preschool that you send your kid to, or not your preschool, even your daycare, do they have to follow the pre-kindergarten guidelines? Because they were upset that their kids weren't learning the alphabet and the numbers and counting and all of that stuff, right? And I'm telling you, like, some daycares are amazing, and they have all of that. They have, you know, curriculum. I mean, and you have to look for one of those. So the ones that are less expensive oftentimes just have crazy fun stuff. Or, like, the more mainstream and edgy the setting, like, maybe they're not teaching your kid anything. They're just letting them learn, which is awesome, right? But that's going to take a little longer. And these days, sadly, kids are expected to know all their letters and all kinds of stuff way earlier than we ever did when we were growing up. It's crazy.
Yeah, and, you know, maybe that's something, well, this is kind of off topic. Maybe this is a whole nother thing, but yeah. I'll just say quickly so we can remember. Maybe something that I should be more concerned about sometimes, I don't really, if my kids don't know all the letters, especially, like, by this time in the year, because they're not, some of them aren't even 5 yet, I'm not that worried about it. I'm like, they're going to learn them. Just give them some time. And I know they're going into kindergarten, and the kindergarten assessment, beginning of year assessment, wants them to, like, know all their letters and stuff. Well, and I'm like, it's cool if they don't. They'll be fine.
Yeah. So here's what I'm saying. I had forgotten. I went off on a tangent. You all deserve a lot of credit for the things that you're teaching those kids. Pre-K is some serious stuff. It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And it's not the same as a drop-off care where, you know, the kids ride the tricycles and they give you some pictures of your kid, like, playing with slime or whatever. I mean, it's great. I love it. I love that these people are, but they're letting your kid play, and they're not, you know, doing the teaching stuff. Not to say that there's no play involved in learning.
Right.
Right. It's just very intentional in a pre-kindergarten classroom.
Exactly. And the play for the kids to them just feels like playing, but it has to be designed with education and learning in mind. And that has to be the teacher's focus without letting the kids know that that's what they're doing.
Right. Meaning the pre-K guidelines have stuff like social emotional development, which includes, like, interpersonal skills. So you're teaching these kids all of that. I used to also work for Head Start, and they did family-style lunches, and I didn't understand it. But, like, once I started doing it, I got it. You know, like, the kids are learning how to serve themselves, how to pour. Like, they're getting so much from this time. And me being there to eat with them as a group, like, we had conversations. It was amazing. It was fun.
Yeah, and breaking bread with people is, like, really a good way to get to know someone and to develop, you know, mutual understanding, and you know, you really get to know someone when you eat meals with them. Right. So about the evaluation, though, there's no way that a person coming in for 45 minutes, or even, they're also supposed to come in periodically and observe what's going on in your classroom, and, you know, they're very busy. I'm not trying to say that doesn't happen. I don't think that any administrator probably has the capability of really, because I've read the handbook for what they're supposed to be doing. I just don't think with all of the everything else they're supposed to do that every single teacher can be observed as the T-test wants them to be.
I just feel like
it's a lot.
I feel like if they're in your room all the time, that's for a reason, right? If they just breeze through, then they know something good's happening in there, and they're not going to, you know.
Yeah, and I think that's true, and I think it will come up in your, like, summative summation or whatever. But I feel like maybe something kind of in between those two things, maybe, like, a 45-minute session at the beginning of the year and a 45 session towards the end of the year. Well, maybe so they can see the growth in your class or something.
It's like the kid that has all their shit together and then the kid that doesn't. One gets all the attention and the other one's like, hey, man, needs the same amount of attention.
Yeah.
So if you could, like, just be somewhere in the middle, not so extreme on either side, then, you know, your strong teachers that are cool to be on their own and the ones who need a lot of assistance, you know, like, how about starting some little learning circles and stuff with the people who have experience and are doing really good and then the people who need a little bit more, you know, I guess just a friend to talk to about the job.
Yeah.
Because usually that, you know, the defrag time with other people is important.
It is. I read this article some time ago, and you know how I am with reading articles. So I really read the headline and maybe the first few lines. But I liked the idea, and it was talking about how teaching and learning how to be a teacher could be designed around more of a model like what you use when you come out of medical school and you do a residency, that you would basically do like a really in-depth, much more so than your student teaching. You would be a resident, you know, you'd be still learning and under really got like clinical guideline from maybe a proctor or something who is a very skilled and long-term veteran teacher. She or he doesn't have a classroom anymore. You are their student.
Yeah.
And they are, you know, maybe they have the first grade or maybe they have, you know, whatever. It would be kind of like, I guess, akin to like an instructional coach. Mm-hmm. But this is someone who is deeply involved in you and your development as a new teacher, learning how to be a teacher, because I don't have a degree in education, but I have heard that, you know, you really learn how to teach on the job once you kind of begin.
Right.
And I thought that was a really interesting and could be an interesting approach because let's face it, being a teacher is as important as being a doctor.
Right.
It is.
It is.
People's education is what they carry with them that no one can take away from them. And the people who are providing that education for others should be top-notch and as deeply trained as, you know, some of these other life-changing professions.
I agree. And on that note, we're coming to the end of our podcast.
We've been talking for 30 minutes.
Oh, yeah, almost. Oh, yep.
Okay.
Yep. So we're supposed to tell you something interesting. I mean, we're not supposed to. Nobody's forcing us. But we would like to tell you something interesting at the end of every podcast. And last time we talked about how we hadn't done anything since the holidays. And it's still kind of the same. I've been to a few conferences and I went to Hawaii. I don't know if that was on our last podcast. Did that. That was cool. Anyway.
I haven't left the house in 2 days.
I'm jealous. Okay, so we watched some movies this weekend, which is hilarious because I just got home last night.
Mm-hmm. We watched a lot of movies.
8 p.m. And so we've watched 3 movies since then. It's been 12 hours.
No.
No.
24
hours. It's been
24 hours. Excuse me.
24 hours. So we watched The Deadly Switch, and that was interesting. Okay, so all of these movies are not mainstream movies. So the acting is some good, some bad, but this was a very good story.
It's really about the storyline.
Yeah, this was a good story. Yeah, watch it. It was like a maybe Lifetime Hallmark movie-ish, which I'm honest, I love watching those movies. Like, I could sit there for days and watch those.
I'm not that into it.
Love them.
But the story on this one got me. I was like, oh, okay, that's a good story.
Yeah, it's a good story. We can't tell you what happened.
Mm-mm.
But it's good.
I screamed out loud twice.
Yes. The Witch Files.
Was really bad.
It was really bad.
I mean, I don't regret watching it because whatevs, but it was really bad.
Yeah, it was cute. It was like a, I think if I were a teenager, I would have loved it. But it has so many parallels to stuff that we've already seen.
Yeah, you know, it was like very the Heathers craft, but it wasn't that cinematic.
No.
It was really like Lifetime doing the craft.
Well, let's not say Lifetime, because I think Lifetime has good movies.
Well, I'm not saying that it's bad. I was just saying like that style.
I feel like it's an independent film. That's what I feel like. It's
oh, just really?
Like, yeah, because it was bad film quality and, like, I'm sorry, independent filmmakers. I mean, you know, kudos to you. It's fantastic, the things that you do, but it doesn't look like it was filmed by, you know, a company that has a lot of money to put into that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So.
It was good, though.
Yeah, it was good.
It was a good story.
Was it? That one wasn't a good story.
But it was okay.
It was pretty cheeseball.
I didn't guess that she was...
You know, what was happening?
Yeah, I didn't guess.
I kind of did. But, you know, those girls were funny. There was some girls in there. And, you know, some of it is good acting.
Yeah.
And it was funny. It was good. We also did not get past the first 30 minutes of the Velvet Buzzsaw.
Which has 5 stars for some reason. Yeah. But it was not watchable.
Couldn't watch it. I couldn't take... Those actors that are good actors and actresses or whatever, I couldn't take them seriously when they were playing their roles in that film. It was just bad.
And I'm kind of thinking that maybe they wanted it to be bad. I think it was on purpose, but it was just not pleasant to watch.
Couldn't get into it. Mm-mm. Just couldn't.
Nope.
Anyway.
So, I think that's really it. We have.
Yeah. We'll see you. We will talk to you next time.
All right. Thanks for listening.
This is InstructiKate. Check out our website, instructikate.com. You can find some cool educational resources.